Heimwall Electronic Recording Productions presents Fallcast, Torpcast Episode 6. This week we will discuss the Fall Guy and all things Lee Majors. What? Really? Why didn't anybody let me know? Alright, cut this out in post. Welcome to Fallcast, where we will be discussing the Fall 2007 TV lineup. Jim, is this really the best we can come up with? Right. Sit back and enjoy. I'd like to introduce you to James Caswell, founder of the official fan club of fan clubs. Whether you're a fan of Marlon Brando or Barry Manilow, Jim loves your fan club. Also, producer in charge of beating useless twerp lackeys to a pulp.
And it's my part of the bargain to introduce my co-executive producer, Doug Zeitlin, also known as the one-eyed, all-horn, giant purple Power Ranger. Welcome to the show, everybody.
I can't believe you came back for more.
As Doug stated, we are going to be discussing the fall 2007 television schedule. All of you boob tubers out there, sit back.
Boobs? Where? Boobs? Where?
Sit back, relax, and reflect with us the upcoming television year, what there is of it.
The parameters for our show this week, we will be discussing television news shows appearing on network during the 2007-2008 TV season. These will include shows that may be picked up as mid-season replacements. However, this discussion will not include The Bionic Woman or Heroes, as both of these shows will be discussed in depth in other Torpcasts.
For our thoughts on the TV show Heroes, go back one episode to HeroCast the TV series. For our thoughts on The Bionic Woman, stick around. We'll be dedicating our next episode to it.
As you may have figured out, Jim and I have a particular interest in genre shows.
Because we're big old twerps?
Yes, we are the XXL twerp.
But fortunately, we're not at the point where we're the XXXXXL twerp. That's about 12 desserts from now.
In regards to the 2007-2008 television season, what two genre shows are you most looking forward to?
That's an interesting question, and I have yet to really find the answer to it yet. Part of the problem that I've been running into is the fact that I feel like I've seen all these shows already.
Yeah, they should have just labeled them all Deja Vu.
Of the new shows that are coming out, you have Chuck, which is John Doe meets Jake 2.0. Journeyman, which is Quantum Leap, only probably not done as well. Reaper, which is Brimstone. Moonlight, which is both Forever Night and Angel. The Sarah Connor Chronicles, which is Terminator. At least they're acknowledging the connection there. And you have New Amsterdam, which is basically Highlander. The only show on here that I can't immediately call a comparison to is Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies in its own way reminds me of True Calling, without Eliza Dushku.
So, that being said, if I had to pick two of these shows to support, and seeing that I'm the one that came up with the question, I pretty much have to come up with two. I'm leaning more towards the new shows Reaper and Moonlight. The reason I'm kind of interested in Reaper is that I did enjoy the show Brimstone when it was on, and Reaper at least has Kevin Smith directing the pilot. At the very least, I'm going to see the pilot.
Please remind me to set my DVR for that, Jim. I may not be looking forward to the television show, but I'll watch anything directed by Kevin Smith.
The other show that I would probably pick is Moonlight, only because I miss Forever Night and Angel. That being said, I really don't think that either one of the shows are going to last very long. How about for you, Doug?
Well, I honestly think you've given too much credit to the upcoming series. Whereas, yes, I will definitely watch the pilot episode of Reaper, there is not a single new genre show that I'm actually looking forward to. Well, not on network television. For those of you who can get the BBC, I would highly suggest Torchwood Season 2, Ashes to Ashes, which is a follow-up series to Life on Mars, and Doctor Who Season 4. All I am looking forward to immensely.
Yeah, it's pretty sad when we have to look to England for good television.
I think that's a good point. English television does not have to be afraid of catering to intellectuals, people who like to think about the television they watch, whereas American television is just dumbed down so anybody can understand it.
Of the shows that I've been watching recently, most of them have been from the BBC. I thoroughly enjoyed Robin Hood. I thoroughly enjoyed Doctor Who. I enjoy Torchwood, in spite of the fact that I don't necessarily agree with some of the plot lines, but it's still enjoyable. There's a part of me that really wishes I could get BBC America, because even recently they aired Hyde, which was a miniseries updating the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Quick correction. The name of the show was Jekyll, and it was written by Steve Moffat, my favorite current Doctor Who writer,
And the show was absolutely incredible. I wish I had known that you were interested in it, because I've just deleted it from my DVR.
Nerds. So those are the shows that we're interested in seeing. But we are talking science fiction and fantasy genre here. You know that of the 7 new shows that are being released, most of them are not going to see a season 2.
Oh, I think there's quite a few that are not going to see an episode 2.
So, out of this list, which 2 do you think stand the highest chance of being failures?
As you're aware, Jim, I've had the distinct displeasure to preview the Sarah Connor Chronicles. What a piece of C-R-A-P. Super big monkey shite.
So I take it you didn't like it?
It was obviously written by somebody who'd never seen the Terminator movies. It was acted by people who have apparently never taken a drama class, and directed by somebody who is obviously a film school dropout.
Didn't you say something similar to that about Flash?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. Before I saw Flash, I thought the Sarah Connor Chronicles was the worst television show ever to make air. The Flash, however, did take that position as bottom of the barrel, which would put Sarah Connor's at just above the crud on the bottom of the barrel.
Now, what you saw was a...
It was the pre-edited copy. It did have the school shooting. The guy who played the Terminator robot has less acting skill than Arnold Schwarzenegger. What more do you need to say about this?
Well, you'll pardon me if I hope and pray that the school shooting is not the only thing that gets edited, and that maybe they can coax some skill out of someone. I mean, it has Summer Glau in it.
Okay, there you go. Somebody with skill. Unfortunately, she could not carry that alone.
You know, I think Summer needs to go and work for a different network.
Frankly, the small screen is not really the place for her. She is smart enough and talented enough that I think that she really has big screen potential.
So, we know how you feel about the Sarah Connor Chronicles. What's your second choice?
I gotta say Chuck.
Upchuck?
Upchuck is what that makes me want to do. And I get the fact that this is going to be kind of a campy series. Camp still has a place in my heart. I think camp can be very good. But just because science fiction is camp does not automatically mean it will be good. What about yourself, James?
While I plan on watching at least the first couple of episodes, I really don't think Journeyman is going to last that long. As we said, it does share a lot of similarities to Quantum Leap. Even the producers have admitted that it resembles Quantum Leap. Quantum Leap was on for 5 years, and at the time was one of my all-time favorite shows. But from what I've seen of Journeyman, it seems as though it has a very limited plot potential. It seems as though it's a serialized show that shouldn't take that much to reach its resolution. I'm hoping that they have something built in to expand beyond what I've seen in the credits to make it last. If it doesn't, it's not going to make it past 5 episodes.
Quantum Leap was also one of my favorite television shows.
What are the chances of that happening?
After 5 years, the writers and producers really had run out of ideas for Quantum Leap. They didn't want to keep telling the same story over and over again. They really felt that was the time to end the series. Now, Journeyman, is it a reimagination of the Sam Beckett setting things right through time? Not really so much. I mean, Voyager did that in the early 80s. Quantum Leap did it in the late 80s.
Voyagers was the show with the male model traveling through time with the little kid. I loved that show. I remember my cousin and I, when we were kids, would go halfway up the stairs at my grandparents' house and jump off of the stairs, because every time the Voyagers arrived in a new timeline, they fell out of the sky and landed.
It's an interesting concept, but again, it's not necessarily being reimagined, it's just being redone. So it is redundant.
Redone, regurgitated. So that's why I don't think that one's going to go very far. The other one that I'm looking at kind of falling on its face is Pushing Daisies. I mean, how many ways can you put a spin on Resurrection?
It simply doesn't interest me.
Yeah, I have no interest either. But so that people won't say that we play favorites.
Oh, we do, but we just don't want people to say it.
At least not to our faces. Is there anything that's new that's being presented that piques your interest that isn't in the genre?
In a word, Jim? No.
That's what I thought.
Well, the good news is the BBC continues to put out marvelous new programming, so I'll be waiting for things like season 2 of Robin Hood.
For myself, the commercials for Kayville have piqued my interest enough that I don't fast forward through them anymore, but I'm probably not going to watch this show. If anything that's being released could potentially pique my interest, it would probably be that. Can I put more conditions on that?
In order, Jim? No.
Now, keep in mind that our television watching isn't solely genre-based. There is stuff outside of the genre that we watch. It's just that none of the new stuff piques our interest.
No, absolutely. I think this is a good time to say, what non-genre show are you looking forward to returning?
Actually, I have a couple of shows on that list, and at least two of them you're going to make fun of me for. The first one is Bones, and I know you won't say anything about that because we both enjoy that show. I will admit that I first started watching it for David Boreanaz, but the chemistry on the show, the interaction between the characters, and the fact that it's a mystery show all piqued my interest because my second favorite genre is mystery.
It was actually number two on my list. You're right. I won't make fun of you for including it. Again, for the same reason I enjoyed 5 years worth of the show Angel. I'm like, well, I'll give Bones a 1 week trial, see if it's something I enjoyed. And then I gave it a 2 week trial to see if it was something I enjoyed. And I'm thoroughly looking forward to season three.
I really like the chemistry between the two lead characters. And in many ways, I actually like Temperance better than Steely.
You know, I think you really hit the nail on the head with this one. It's a formula show. They find Bones. They uncover the mystery. There's not much to it as far as that goes. What it's really about is the characters and how they interact. Not just between Temperance Brennan and Steely Booth, but as they're called in the show, the squints, how they all get along, how they don't get along. I think that really, if you're looking at the show as a character-driven drama, it is really very well done.
Yeah, I love the squints. The squints remind me of our group of friends, only just slightly weirder. Only slightly.
Oh, that's funny. I was going to say only slightly more normal.
Now, the two that you're going to be throwing things at me for are the CSI shows. I enjoy a good mystery.
And still you like CSI. Okay.
And again, I enjoy the character interactions, and there's just something about it that draws me back week after week, season after season. I just enjoy it. It's candy.
All right. I'll give you a pass. I won't really make fun of you. I would not consider any of the CSI shows as the mark of human achievement in dramatic television. They are, however, extremely well-made candy. If you have the bottom of the barrel, your generic chocolate for cooking, as opposed to your top-of-the-line, really expensive $10 an ounce chocolate, CSI could be your $10 an ounce chocolate.
And now, for the guilty pleasure. I will admit it, I do watch Survivor. Hi, my name is Jim. I'm a Survivor addict. It's one of three reality shows that I'll actually watch, and the rest of it is just absolute tripe.
For those out there in listening land, if you want to see a well-done reality television show, check out Stan Lee's Who Wants to Be a Superhero.
That's one of the other three.
I have only one positive thing to say about Survivor. It's incredibly popular.
You mentioned Stan Lee's Who Wants to Be a Superhero. The best part about that show is that it makes no pretense whatsoever as being reality. It takes real people and puts them into completely unrealistic situations, but there's a good moral behind it. It has good moral fiber and value to it. My one constant complaint about Survivor is that the best way to win $1 million is to lie, cheat, steal, backstab. I'm surprised nobody's been shoved into a volcano yet.
You made two really important points about reality television. And Who Wants to Be a Superhero, there's no pretenses. They are real people in these fantastic situations, and it's supposed to be not real. Survivor puts real people in equally fantastic situations that have nothing to do with reality, and they still call it reality television. And your second point, Who Wants to Be a Superhero is trying to show the good, the humane nature of human beings. Whereas Survivor and shows like it are trying to show the exact opposite. The evil side, the cheating, the lying, the stealing side. They're diametrically opposed television shows.
What I will say in my own defense is that every once in a while, it only happens like one every 5 seasons, but every once in a while somebody comes into Survivor who has a moral base, who is able to survive without resorting to being a crumb bum.
I think Survivor would be a very different television show if Rudy had won season one and not Richard Hatch.
Or Kelly, for that matter. One of the main reasons why Kelly lost was because people were angry with the fact that she was actually surviving the elimination rounds. She was earning immunity, and therefore they had to attack each other before they could attack her. And they were angry with the fact that she survived. I see a basic flaw here.
I see many flaws with the show Survivor, but that does not mean it's not incredibly popular.
Yes, it is incredibly popular. It is the founding father of reality TV, and I try not to hold that against it. We'll talk more about reality TV in a couple of minutes. I got a lot more to say on that matter. So those are my viewpoints on it. What do you think?
Well, there's actually several non-genre shows that I'm looking forward to. Okay, the first is Lost. So you could argue this is a sci-fi show, is this a drama? It's one of those crossover shows, but it is a returning network drama that I am thoroughly looking forward to. And a regular non-genre show is Prison Break. I think, like Bones, that the show really draws you into the lives of the characters. Some of them are really good guys, some of them are really, really, really bad guys. But they all have these interesting lives that draw you in, and you want to know what happens to them next. And that's how I feel about it. I want to know what happens to them next.
Now, like Bones, were you drawn to this show because of Dominic Purcell and his previous role as John Doe?
I guess the answer to that is yes and no. John Doe only lasted one season, was certainly a genre show, and I thought was done very well. It didn't hurt that he was in the show. I'm actually a Prison Break convertee. Did not watch it first run. Watched season one in reruns. Actually, come to think of it, Lost and Prison Break, I watched both in reruns. And the reruns themselves got me hooked. And I only watched the reruns because of how popular they were. I wanted to see what all the hype was about. And then I realized the hype isn't always wrong. It is with Survivor.
Unfortunately, at times, the things that you are addicted to aren't good for you.
Several of your ex-girlfriends come to mind, Jim.
We'll return back to the genre again. What genre show are you most looking forward to returning, as if I didn't know?
Well, as we've already said, Heroes is not something we can discuss today, so I'd say my number two show on the list would have to be Smallville. I wouldn't actually call this a reimagination of Superman or Superboy.
It's a reimagination of Clark Kent.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's just young Clark Kent. It's totally different than anything we've seen in the comics previously. A well-told character story, a well-told action story. I love Smallville. And for those of you who don't...
Smallville is also on my list.
My personal guilty pleasure in this would have to be Battlestar Galactica. It's a show that I would not rate very highly. It's a show I would rate simply as mediocre. It's okay science fiction. It's okay drama. You know, it's entertainment for an hour. That being said, I've seen every single episode, and I'm going to watch the fourth and final season.
BSG is also on my list. There's no big surprise here for anyone. The only one that I would add to that list is Jericho. I started watching Jericho from the very beginning. I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it as much as Heroes, but I did enjoy it. I was disappointed that it got canceled, and I'm very pleased to see it get renewed for a partial season. I'm hoping that the fans can generate enough support that maybe it can get extended beyond the 7 episodes that it's been renewed for. I doubt it, but that has more to do with my lack of faith in studios, especially CBS.
You know, I think that really depends on how strong fan support is. We discussed the small resurrection of Farscape. Well, Farscape is yet again coming back in webisodes. And so this is a show which has been dead and gone for years now, and it's being resurrected in another form. Perhaps Jericho will be back in another form, a movie, on another network, something of that sort. I'll be happy to watch your DVD box set, though.
At least it will get a chance to finish out its storyline. We won't be stuck with a cliffhanger.
Well, we've discussed new shows for 2007. We've discussed returning shows for 2007. My general question of the evening, then, I think the big point, is there anything on TV that's worth watching anymore?
That is an interesting point of contention, because I can honestly say that I still watch a fair amount of television. There are still at least 2 shows per night that I probably watch. Some nights are heavier than others, but in the average, it's about 2 shows a night. This isn't necessarily something good to say, but I remember watching a whole lot more television in years past.
Now, does this mean that you've grown up too much, that now you're beyond television, or does this mean that television is just a sack of crap?
I think it's leaning more towards the latter. I've gotten to the point where I will give a show 1 or 2 episodes to catch my attention. And if it doesn't hold my attention, I stop watching it. It's done. I think when I was younger, television was something to do. Now I have other things to do.
What I hear you saying is it's like half of one, half of the other. To a certain extent, it's your time is more valuable. So because television isn't that good, your time is better spent elsewhere.
Yeah. A lot of times I'd much rather sit down and edit episodes of Twerpcast and Eras. There just doesn't feel like there's that much good television left anymore. I get more enjoyment out of reading a book or playing with my niece than sitting down and watching some of the garbage that's on television now. Which makes me think that the shows that I do bother to stop and pay attention to have to be of higher quality.
As I look at the lineup for fall 2007, I am not seeing stuff that looks like it's really high quality. I think, as always, Fox has a lock on Sunday night. Personally, The Simpsons is the only thing that I really have to watch.
I'll admit that Family Guy is a guilty pleasure of mine.
Spectacular show, don't get me wrong. It's probably one of the funniest things on television.
It's also one of the filthiest things on television.
Absolutely. But really, when you look at a Sunday night lineup, I know it's one of those pop shows, and Terry Hatcher is still eye candy, but when it comes to the shows that people really talk about week in and week out, it's Fox. It's The Simpsons. It's The Family Guy.
Actually, Sunday night is a very strong night. While I don't watch it, you've got 60 Minutes, which has been on for decades. You've got America's Funniest Home Videos, which has been on for as long as I can remember. It's a very strong night. I look at what the CW has programmed up against some of these shows, and I just have to wonder if they just up and surrendered. CW Now, which is them focusing in on what the CW is doing and what Warner Brothers is doing. A nice, good half hour of self-promotion. Online Nation, where they're talking about things that are on the internet. Life is Wild, yet another primetime soap.
Frankly, the producers at CW may as well just peel down their pants, show us their rear, and put a camera on it.
Don't give them any ideas. I give it 6 months, and that'll be a show replacement.
It's going to be called Rear View.
Oh, you know it's going to happen. It's like a train wreck. You know it's coming. So, as far as Sunday night goes, they've surrendered the night. It's really kind of sad. Monday night belongs to NBC with Heroes. Actually, CBS at 9 o'clock has CSI Miami, so in spite of what you think of CSI, it's a ratings draw.
Well, Dancing with the Stars is a ratings draw also. Hello, it's Dancing with the Stars!
What's really sad is that it's on two nights. It's on both Mondays and Tuesdays. They have an hour and a half show from 7 to 8:30 on Monday, and then they have the results show on Tuesday from 8 to 9. Don't get me started. I'll beat this horse later.
Well, you know, Jim, I just noticed that K-Ville is going up against Heroes, so K-Ville is dead in the water.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like I said, it was something that might have drawn my attention.
If Heroes has enough power to draw in people for Chuck and Journeyman, they could have a good season. Okay, I'm not going to watch Chuck or Journeyman, but they could have a good season.
Unfortunately, the logic of building a block kind of went by the wayside with the invention of the remote control.
Heck, with the invention of the remote control, the DVR, anything. I got Prison Break on Fox and Heroes on NBC, and you're not going to convince me to watch CSI, but I know it's out there.
Right. There are certain things that even I won't try. Speaking of things that I won't even try, Cavemen? They are actually making a television show based on those 15-second commercials.
I like the commercials. I think they're funny, I think they're entertaining, and they've been a really good draw for Geico. I don't think that translates into a half-hour comedy.
I really hope that doesn't translate into a half-hour comedy. No offense to the producers and actors and everything, but I hope this thing dies in the water. The last thing we need is a half-hour sitcom starring the Gecko from Geico. Or let's bring back the Chihuahua from Taco Bell and give him a sitcom.
How about that old lady from Where's the Beef?
Yeah, that's entertainment.
Fortunately, we've got Bones in that time slot, although against NCIS and Beauty and the Geek, I don't know how well that does.
I hope Bones just annihilates Beauty and the Geek. We also have Reaper on Tuesdays.
I don't watch House, but I think Reaper's going to have a hard time going up against House.
Not to mention the Dances with the Stars results show.
Fools, it's Dancing with the Stars! What?
Come on, when Cliff Clavin is a draw. Wednesday nights is Kid Nation. Let's make Lord of the Flies into a kid-friendly reality series. Woohoo!
I think this was a better idea when I suggested actually doing it like the book. That was the one where the last kid left standing gets all the prize money.
That was also the one where you didn't vote people off of the island, you voted them into the island, right?
You got it. Wednesday night has the only show that I'm really incredibly looking forward to, Bionic Woman. And as we haven't really given that a topic of its own, you will hear a lot about this in our next Twerpcast, Bionicast.
We thought so much of it that we wanted to dedicate an entire episode to it.
At the complete opposite end of the spectrum is Gossip Girl. For those of you who are not familiar with the original book series, this is essentially a set of young adult books that are porn. They are set about young teenagers, putting them in situations where they're trying to have sex, where they're actually having sex, where they're talking about sex. It is essentially your junior high school pornography books.
I'm just going to sit here and shake my head for a second. In this day and age, kids have enough pressure to grow up as it is. They don't need their entertainment encouraging them to grow up in really stupid ways. But Wednesday night is another CSI night, so... But as much as Wednesday night has Bionic Woman going for it, it's also got a lot of garbage. Private Practice, a spinoff from Grey's Anatomy, Gossip Girl, Dirty Sexy Money, Kitchen Nightmares.
Oh, They've Met My Mother! I didn't know she had her own reality show.
No, this is Kitchen Nightmares, not Kitchen Disasters.
Or Kitchen Murders. Honestly, NBC could really own a good portion of this night. Deal or No Deal, followed by Bionic Woman. I don't think anything can take over the CSI spot, honestly, but I think I got 2 good hours on NBC.
Thursday has always been kind of a heavy night for television for me personally, with Survivor and Smallville and CSI. If it wasn't for the fact that it's up against Survivor and Smallville, I'd love to watch Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I'm just a big fan of Jeff Foxworthy.
Absolutely. Put this on at any other time, and I will watch Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. I am not going to be missing Smallville for it, though.
And Thursday also has Scrubs, one of the only sitcoms that I will actually watch right now.
Honestly, it looks like NBC is trying to do must-see TV. My Name is Earl, Rock, The Office, Scrubs. Honestly, it's almost a rival lineup to the good old days.
They have built a strong lineup. The first hour and a half of it you couldn't pay me to watch, but it's a strong lineup, ratings-wise.
And I'm still out there for ER. I haven't given up on it yet. Can't tell you people who have given up on it to try again. Can't tell you people who have never tried it to start now. But for those of us who are in for the long haul, it's at least still enjoyable.
Well, I'm glad that you still enjoy it. I gave up about 3 years ago.
At this point, you really have to be in for the long haul.
Are there any original cast members left at this point? Not that that's something to hold against it.
The show is not called Dr. Mark Green. It's called ER.
And there are turnovers in hospitals. That's nothing to hold against it. It's just I lost interest when I saw the same storylines repeated for the third time. But that's just me.
Can we talk about Friday? Can we talk about Friday? Can we talk about Friday? It's got WWF. It's got wrestling.
I thought you outgrew that.
Yeah, I did.
Thank God.
But I don't see anything else on there. So that was the most positive thing I could say about Friday night.
Moonlight is on Friday nights. And it is put between Ghost Whisperer and Numbers. Never really got into Numbers, even though it's along the same lines as some of the other stuff that I would watch. It never really drew my attention that much. And Ghost Whisperer, no interest whatsoever.
Like I said, the most interesting thing to see on Friday night is wrestling.
Which brings us to Saturday. Saturday holds a point of contention for me. As we've said, this is the day and age of DVRs, VCRs, people being able to see shows without actually having to watch them at that point in time. Friday nights used to be known as Killer Fridays. You would put shows on Friday night specifically to try to kill them off. But yet you see shows like Ghost Whisperer and Numbers, which are able to draw in the numbers. This tells me that either people have stopped going out on dates, or people have started recording the shows and watching them later. I'm leaning more towards the latter. This being said, I have to wonder why all of the networks have basically just given up completely on Saturday night. You have Saturday Night Football, which will draw in the jocks, but there's very little creativity put into programming a sports broadcast. You've got CBS with Crime Time Saturday, which are mystery repeats, and 48 Hours, a news show. You've got Fox programming an hour's worth of Cops, followed by America's Most Wanted, shows that have been on for decades, but fall into that reality programming. And then you've got NBC with Dateline NBC and drama repeats, usually repeats of Law and Order. They've completely surrendered this evening. If just one of them were to program some legitimate shows in there, they could take the entire night with very little effort. But yet, there's nothing.
This goes back to our earlier discussion. Is the reason that we watch less television because we have better things to do with our time, or because there's nothing good on television? So Saturday night, they have a lot better things to do than watch television. Also, there's almost no new or well-done old ideas out there. I think surrender is the perfect word, Jim. They've surrendered. They've been like, you know what? Here is one night that we don't have to program anything. We're going to let dead air be on there, and we'll just sell commercial time at the minimum cost.
So what you're saying is that it's the beginning of the death throes.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Well, if that's the beginning of the death throes, I know what the middle of them are. Reality programming.
We have 20 and a half hours scheduled every week of reality programming?
20 and a half hours every week. That doesn't include news programming. That doesn't even include America's Funniest Home Videos. I'm talking things that are...
Survivor, Big Brother. This is the best that the creative minds in network television can come up with. This is absolutely signs of death throes of television.
I understand where the programming executives are getting this idea from. They see it as an easy revenue of advertising cash because a lot of people watch these shows.
The cost to produce these shows is incredibly low.
In spite of the fact that most of them offer million-dollar prizes, they don't have to pay out the $1 million that often.
And when you compare that to the salary some of the actors are making, Ray Romano earned more than that in every episode of Everyone Loves Ray.
Towards the end of Friends, every single one of them was making almost $1 million per episode. So financially speaking, I can understand where they're coming from. But they are perpetuating the downfall of civilization.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. But they certainly are perpetuating the downfall of network television.
These shows are the reason why cable television has been able to increase their original programming and start stealing the ratings.
Absolutely. I would rather see Monk or Psych.
As much as we've ripped into it chronically, I would actually rather sit down and watch more episodes of Flash Gordon than America's Next Top Model.
Truthfully, if those were my two choices of television and I could not turn the TV off, I would simply poke my eyes out.
But what about your ears?
I would turn the radio up really loud.
The fact that reality programming has taken over such a large quantity of the network schedule is just such a sad statement of affairs.
It's a waste of the airwaves, and the airwaves are for the public interest.
But with all of the negativity that we've been putting forth on this topic, I have to think that there might be hope on the horizon. A new trend that has developed is the winter schedule. A lot of networks have taken to programming shows to step in when their fall shows go into hiatus. At least three networks have planned ahead and have already bought shows that they plan on putting on come wintertime. Now, the question on this is this a safety net for them, with them anticipating that some of their shows are just going to fail and they've already booked backup shows? Or is this potentially a sign of things to come, where shows can program a set of shows to run fall and winter, a new set of shows that maybe start in February and run until June, and then possibly even a third set of shows that run over the summer?
Well, that's a multiple-part question, which is pretty good because I have a multiple-part multitude answer. Is this simply a safety net? Abso-freaking-lutely. Television is the only industry where 90% of all the products fail and nobody gets fired for it. They have just accepted that they put on crap, that people don't want to watch crap, and they need backup crap to fill in the spot once they flush. Part two of that, is this a sign of things to come? I hope so. Again, the BBC does something that's frustrating on the one hand and brilliant on the other. They don't have 22 or 24 episode seasons. They run the show as long as the story goes. Jekyll ran 6 episodes. Life on Mars had 2 seasons that ran 8 episodes each. Robin Hood, 13 episodes. Doctor Who, 3 seasons of 13 episodes. You don't have to shoot 24 episodes just to make a show good.
And cable television has picked up on this. They've realized that this pattern works. Monk is usually 13 to 16 episodes. Battlestar Galactica, same thing. In fact, most of the cable shows only have 13 to 16 episodes per season. They don't feel the need to create 22 episodes and then break them up right in the middle.
Cable shows typically run their shows during the summer. So that, yes, they're showing them from beginning to end, but they're only showing them in this little 12 or 13-week window. But the second thing is, the networks are learning. Lost has three more seasons that are each going to be 16 episodes long. This is the first time that I know of a network intentionally buying a full season that is not 22 episodes long.
The question that I have regarding that is, does that come from the studio or does that come from the network? The studio may have decided that in order to reach syndication, they only need to do 48 more episodes to reach that golden number, and therefore they really only want to do those many. Or, like you said, the network could be catching on.
Well, ultimately the question is the wagon pulling the horse or is the horse pulling the wagon? Why is the 16-episode season coming about? My answer to that is it's unimportant. The really important thing is that the network did buy a shorter season. Whether it's because that's what they wanted, whether it's because that was all they were offered, whatever the reasoning for, it shows that networks are willing to try something in a smaller or a different format. If somebody comes up with an idea and says, you know what, I want to do a spinoff of Heroes, but I only have an idea for 6 episodes. Let's do a 6-episode spinoff of Heroes.
I think that if networks were smart, in addition to actually starting to program shows that are worth watching, I think they would do themselves a great favor if they were to institute a rotating season. You don't have to put one show on and show 22 brand new episodes and 30 weeks of repeats and just keep it going over and over and over again. Keep on regurgitating that stuff. I think you'd have a lot more people trying to tune in and watch first-run shows if they thought that it wasn't going to be repeated 20,000 times more.
Absolutely. I think they could really break the show into 3 seasons. The fall season, the winter season, and the summer season. Ironically enough, it's what they're doing anyways. They put on a fall show. By the time November's around, they know whether they're going to keep it or cancel it. If they cancel it, January comes around, they put on a new show in its place for the February ratings period. So they've already created this fall-winter schedule. And unintentionally, this entire 12-week period in the summer, when the networks have no new programming, the cable companies have said, you know what? People who are watching television, we're going to keep them by putting on original. So they created a summer season. So whether it was intentional or not, there already is a 3-season schedule. When the networks realize this and start programming it like this, it could really change the face of television.
And let's face facts. Television needs a facelift. With box sets coming out on DVD, people don't have to watch television in order to be entertained anymore. They can go back into their DVD collections, pull out a show that they already know that they like, and enjoy it without the commercials, without breaks for repeats. They can go back and enjoy it as many times as they want, whenever they want.
And sales on the DVD sets are really outstripping the viewership of the TV programs. We mentioned in Fancast that the Firefly DVD set sold so well and had so much backing behind it that Universal Pictures went to Joss Whedon and said, hey, if you can sell that many DVDs of a dead television show, how many movie tickets can you sell? And we got a wonderful Serenity movie. Wish somebody had gone to see it so there'd be another one, but that we discussed in the Josscast. But that being said, again, with fan outcry being out there, people love the Babylon 5 television series. J. Michael Straczynski puts out a 2-episode DVD direct-to-video. No networks involved, no television studios involved, just goes right to the fans.
The only thing that studios have to be careful of is not pricing themselves out of the market and not going back to the well too often. Again, going full circle, our love for Star Trek, wonderful show, I own all of the seasons on DVD because, yes, I'm that big of a twerp, but they are the most expensive DVDs to ever be released. And Paramount just keeps producing different sets so that they can continue to make more money off of the fans.
Giving the studios a break on this, if the fans are foolish enough to keep buying them again and again, why would you stop as a producer putting them out again? The complete original run of Star Trek has already been released twice on DVD. It's going to get another box set on HD DVD, and individual episodes are being put together in fan collective sets. Buyer beware. If you're stupid enough to buy it 3-4 times, I mean, it's your fault. It's not the studio's fault.
So those of you out there who want new Star Trek to be produced, stop buying the old stuff over and over again. Here, let me put that soapbox away before I climb up on top of it again. I have one last question for you. And this kind of goes back to the common theme that we've been hitting upon all evening. The last topic is the Why Hasn't This Been Canceled Yet award. What returning show shouldn't have been brought back or made it to the air in the first place? And no fair answering everything.
Well, since you've already stipulated that it's no fair saying everything, I'll keep it to new television shows for the fall. Number one on my list is going to have to be Flash. I have to wonder, did anybody actually watch the pilot? Had they watched the pilot, they may have known that money would be better spent elsewhere. Like toilet paper. And my second pick would have to be the Sarah Connor's Chronicles. Again, having seen the pilot, I have to wonder if I'm the only one who saw it. I don't know how I can not repeat myself. It was bad, 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 really bad. And you, Jim?
Well, while you went with new shows, I'm going to go with old shows. And giving that dead horse one or two more good swats, what is America's Top Model doing on the air? And Beauty and the Geek, can these shows get any more insulting to intelligent humans or people in America in general? These shows are just utter garbage. Those of you who are watching these shows, no offense, but hang your heads in shame. Just turn off the TV.
If the problem is you've fallen and you can't get up to change the channel, you really need new relatives. They should have come by already.
I mean, America's Top Model isn't just airing original episodes. They're also doing repeats on another night. This is ridiculous, people. Come on. But that goes along with the whole reality television being the root of most evil. Beyond that point, I would have to say 30 Rock. That had to have been one of the greatest disappointments of my television watching season last year. It was just such utter tripe. Tina Fey, she was funny on Saturday Night Live. Alec Baldwin should be matched up in a movie with Joel Schumacher. I don't think I can get any more insulting than that. And then that film should be burned in effigy.
As far as big disappointments go, I have to agree with this one. Do not understand why 30 Rock is on the air and Studio 60 is not.
It's like Studio 60 was filet mignon and 30 Rock was horse meat, and people liked the horse meat better? What?
Well, again, I'm going to have to disagree with you. 30 Rock was more horse shite than horse meat.
If 30 Rock was a meat product, I wouldn't feed it to rats. Do you get the feeling that I didn't like it? But that being said, it is a sad state of affairs when there are many more shows in the running for this award than those that we are looking forward to returning or new shows that we'd like to check out. So, we really wish we had better news for you people, but on the bright side, you don't have to watch television.
You can still go out and play.
You can still pick up a book and read.
You can still call your mother. She's been waiting to hear from you.
Or, if all else fails, you can always go to www.torponline.net. I'll guarantee that there's better stuff there than on the network.
Shameless self-plugging. Ah!
Speaking of Torp Online, as those of you who listened to our last episode of Torpcast may know, our plan was to have Act 1 of Yours, Minds, and Ours, the third episode of Star Trek Eras, out by August 31st. The best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. Our new target date is August 7th. But don't hold us to it. Sometimes editing takes a little longer than anticipated. Bear with us. It'll be out shortly.
Thank you for listening to Fallcast, Twipcast, Episode 6. As always, your comments are welcome and encouraged. Please write Jim at twerponline.net.
Twerpcast is a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2007. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Are we done?